If you were to come in with a group of Christian people and attend a prayer meeting and hear these people talk and pray, do you think it would be right for you ever to wonder in yourself whether they understand things right? Do you suppose that if a person were to notice other people's convictions, you think that's wrong? You think it would be wrong if a person came in with a group of people and was fellowshipping with them, and then he would become concerned as to whether they understood the real truth of the gospel and start to ask questions about it? You think that's just making trouble? Well, we are just now studying in the book of Acts, and we're in the 19th chapter, and we've come across a strange situation. The Apostle Paul, coming into the city of Ephesus, found certain disciples and was spent some time with them, and something about them caused him to wonder, and he asked this question: did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The way it reads in the Authorized Version, the King James Version, is, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And some of our other translations give us a better rendering of that, I think, when they simply translate it to mean, to say, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And in our last study, we were questioning with ourselves, what did Paul miss in their testimony? When Paul heard them pray, what was it made him suspicious that they didn't know about the Holy Spirit? When he heard them talk, perhaps he heard them interpret Scripture, making talks as they would in a prayer meeting. What was it, do you think? And we've been studying about that now in our last study. What do you suppose they were lacking that Paul noticed? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Makes me think that there was something about them of such a nature that Paul said, these folks must actually be lacking this. And I'm bringing this to your mind because I want you not only, I don't know how many of you will ever feel that you can do this, that you can go in and talk to anyone else, but I wish that every one of us would do this for ourselves. And I would like, even now while I'm interpreting this passage of Scripture to you, to raise the question with you, and you'll think of it while I'm talking. So I'll just say to you very humbly, but I hope very clearly, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? In other words, are you conscious and aware of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God was given to you as a believer? And do you recognize His presence? Do you acknowledge that God Himself is in you to will and to do of His good pleasure? Now that's what Paul wanted to know. And that's why Paul asked it. And I suggested to you it would be because these good men, these disciples, when he would be listening to them, would show that they were conscious of sin. They might even be depressed in the feeling of their own weakness. But there would be no personal reference to Christ Jesus as a person. You could listen to them, you wouldn't get the impression that they had personal, face-to-face dealing with the Lord Jesus Christ by the day. By this day in which you live, right today, have you had personal, conscious relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in any way at all? Well, if not, why not? The Holy Spirit would do this for you. And this also would, I think, would it be evidenced that he wouldn't perhaps have noticed no joy. Now, mind you, there might be genuine sincerity, real zeal. There might even be a real depressed feeling about sin and an honest, sincere repudiation of sin with genuine, true repentance, but no joy. And if they had no joy, it would be an evidence that the Holy Spirit was not working in them. So he asked them this question: did you receive, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And he got this answer: we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And that is translated to mean, we have never even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, I think it would be too much to say that they did not know the Holy Spirit was referred to in the Bible. After all, Apollos was mighty in the Scriptures, and he would know perfectly well that the Holy Spirit is spoken about in the Old Testament. And he would know also that Joel and other prophets had said that God would baptize his people with his Holy Spirit. Jeremiah had it in the second, in his new covenant, and so did Ezekiel have it in his new covenant. They would know that that was true, and I'm sure they knew about that. But what they did not know was that the Holy Spirit had been given. In other words, they didn't understand about Pentecost. And this caused Paul to wonder. And he raised this question then as we read on in verse 3. Unto what then were you baptized? Or as we read in another version, into what then were you baptized? And this is a way of asking, when you openly identified yourselves with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what did you think you were getting into? You see, when a person is baptized, being baptized is a public indication that you intend to accept the message that has been preached by the preacher. Being baptized in Old Testament days was a good deal like a person coming forward and confessing Christ in our day and time. Sometimes, you know, an evangelist will be preaching and he'll say, if there's anybody here that will accept what I say as true and commit himself to it, I want him to come down and shake my hand. Now, there isn't any evangelist in the world, I think, that wouldn't know that shaking a man's hand wouldn't save him. That's not the point. The point is, it gives this man something to do publicly, wherein he would show publicly that he really does believe. And it gives him something to do personally. Getting up out of his pew and walking down the aisle and shaking hands with the preacher is a very important and serious thing for the man that's going to do it. And in that sense, it could be something to do in that way. Now, in John's time, I think, among other things, I'm sure, but first, certainly, very basically, the ceremony of baptism was this kind of thing. And when a person listened to a man preach, if you believed what he said, and you wanted to accept that for yourself, you would go forward and be baptized of that preacher. So you were being baptized into the preacher's message. You were going to do it. So the Apostle Paul asked these people, well, when you were baptized, what did you think you were getting into? Unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then Paul says in verse 4, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, and that's the truth, and it's true as John preached it, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. Someone could ask at this point, you mean there's something more than repentance? Yes, there is something more than repentance. Now, about sin, you don't need anything more. About sin, that happened at Calvary's cross. About sin, the thing to do is to confess it and to repudiate it. About sin, we acknowledge before God our iniquity before God. But the book doesn't end there. That's not all. Getting rid of your sin is like taking a kettle in the kitchen and cleaning it. Washing it, scouring it out clean. Then what? You don't just put it back on the shelf. Why did you wash it? Why did you scour it? Didn't you do that because you were going to use it? Did you intend to use that kettle for actually doing some cooking? That's the way God wants to do with me. That's the way he wants to do with you. That's the way he wants to do with any of his people. And John truly baptized with the baptism of repentance. And that is valid so far as sin is concerned. And without repentance, you won't be able to get with God. In other words, you've got to really in your heart know that you're the sinner that committed these sins. But John himself preached that the people should believe on the one who was coming after him, that is, on Christ. And you remember John said, he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When they heard this, we read in verse 5, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That is, they accepted the whole message about Jesus Christ as Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, they commended themselves to what Jesus Christ had done, looking for the power that Jesus Christ would give them. Being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus would be not only that you accept that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that he died for you on Calvary's cross, which is very important, and would be as far as John the Baptist would take you, but that he was raised from the dead, something that John had not had an opportunity of seeing so clearly. He ascended into heaven to be there on the right hand of God praying for us. That's a further truth, a deeper dimension, where the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our high priest in the presence of God. He is there interceding for us day by day by day by day, praying for us, which is our hope of glory, and waiting until he's to return to this world, for return to this world he will in power and great glory. That's the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they listened to Paul preaching on these things, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 6 we read, "And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, they spake with tongues and prophesied." This matter of the laying on of hands is referred to a number of different times in the New Testament, and generally speaking, I would sympathize with all Bible teachers about this when we would commonly admit that we pretty well are unsure what the full meaning of that is. I don't mind telling you what it has come to mean for me. What I think it really has to do with is the commissioning for service. I think the laying of the hands upon them is to authorize them as servants. And you'd say, well, what in the world do you want to authorize those men for? As witnesses. Every single one of us are to be witnesses. With the word, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," was given to every believer. There's not such a thing as a person becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and not having something to do as a member of his body. And to have the hands laid upon you, in my judgment, is authorizing you to your task, commissioning you for your service. And when they were commissioned to serve as witnesses, the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spake with other tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Now this whole line of truth is far more important than I've had time to bring out to you people here, because I feel very, very sure that many of us in the church today, the best preaching we hear goes as far as John the Baptist. You should confess your sins and turn to God. More than that is true. You should receive the Holy Spirit and let God live in you. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to understand this. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.